Monster Man, Episode 145, Yellow Musk Creeper, and Zombie, comma, Yellow Musk. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are talking about the last two monsters in 1981's Fiend Folio, the second monster supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Today we're going to be doing the entirety of the Y and Z chapters as we cover the Yellow Musk Creeper and the Zombie, comma, Yellow Musk. But before we do that, I want to respond to some listener mail. I got a message on Patreon from Robert Gordon, and Robert points out that I made a mistake in my special episode about Jin. I mistakenly identified Al-Qadim as the Arabian Nights part of the World of Greyhawk, and not what it actually is, which is the Arabian Nights part of the Forgotten Realms, which shows how much I know about the two of those, frankly. Like, I had Al-Qadim books, and I still don't remember that they were in the Forgotten Realms, not Greyhawk. So thanks for pointing that out, Robert. I also have some new patrons to thank. That's right, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman and pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like all of today's patrons, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I'm going through the Deities and Demigods book for 1st Edition. And currently, we're doing a series on the gods and monsters of the Cthulhu mythos, and there'll be a new episode out this week, so check it out. This episode, I have to thank Glenn Robinson. Thank you very much, Glenn. Crafts and Minis. Thanks so much for your support, and a patron who increased their pledge to a higher tier, which is in fact the aforementioned Robert Gordon. Robert, thank you very much. Our first monster for this episode is the Yellow Musk Creeper. Now, both of these monsters that we're going to cover today were designed by Albi Fiori. So the Yellow Musk Creeper is another plant monster, and it is a, as the name implies, creeper, a bit like a Virginia creeper or honeysuckle kind of a thing. Is honeysuckle a creeper? I don't know anything about plants. Anyway, it grows along a surface, or grows often in underground areas or dense forests, so I guess that suggests that it kind of needs a low-light environment. And when you get close enough to it, it can try to hypnotize you. Its leaves and flowers sway hypnotically, and when you get close enough, it emits a puff of pollen in your face that can, and if it's successful, you start to walk into the fronds of the plant. Like, you kind of go in and it wraps around you and it sticks some aerial roots into your brain and it begins sucking out your intelligence. If you're rescued after just losing a couple of points of intelligence, they come back gradually at a rate of one a week, or they can be magically restored. If you go down to 1 or 2 points of intelligence, you become a zombie, comma, yellow musk, which we'll talk about in a moment. And if they go to 0 or below, you die, and the plant consumes you, and then buds open a new flower. Now, the Yellow Musk Creeper forms an ecosystem with the next monster, so I'm going to explain both of them and then talk about them both together, because the next monster is the zombie, comma, Yellow Musk. Now, you might think, chances are, if this is an adventuring party, at least some of them are going to pass their saves, and they're going to be able to grapple their party members back out from amongst the leaves, and the worst that's going to happen is, you know, take a little point of intelligence damage. That would be true if not for the complication of the zombie, comma, Yellow Musk. Now, the Yellow Musk zombie is an interesting creature because he's actually more like a folkloric zombie than the zombie as presented in the Monster Manual. It's not undead. As we said way back in the zombie episode, which would have been episode, I don't know, somewhere in the low 70s or high 60s, just off the top of my head, that the zombie of Haitian folklore is a person who has been put into a death-like state by the application of magic, and not an animated corpse. Anyway, the Yellow Musk zombie is a product of what happens when the plant reduces someone's intelligence down to a minimum level but doesn't kill them. And I gotta assume that the plant actually makes a decision to do this, since otherwise you'd assume it would kill them every time. But it needs the Yellow Musk zombies because they help lure new victims into its fronds. And the book says that it'll tend to have about 2 Yellow Musk zombies per blossom. So that is to say, effectively 2 people that it turned into zombies for every 1 person that it consumed and turned into a new blossom of the plant. Like the folkloric zombie, the complication of the Yellow Musk zombie is that a lot of the time this isn't necessarily somebody you want to kill. The person is still alive, they're just under the plant's control, and indeed, they can be rescued and restored to their original state of mind. So I guess those subdual rules from last episode are about to get a workout, huh? So, I mean, again, this is one of those examples of the numerous monsters in the Fiend Folio that kind of superficially appear to be undead but aren't really. But I'm going to give this one a pass because it is actually closer to the original meaning of this creature than the undead version. Anyway, as you can see, the Yellow Musk Creeper and its attendant zombies form a single coherent system of monsters. This is something that we've encountered before. It's just nice that one of them starts with Y and one of them starts with Z so that they're actually close to each other. There are some complications to this thing. Ultimately, the way to kill the Yellow Musk Creeper is to dig down and identify its kind of like root bolus, right? Like you can cut off the individual flowers, but the plant will still be alive. You have to get down there and kill the main root. And that's not going to be easy with the plant and its zombies attacking you. It's also the case that, a bit like a gelatinous cube, the Yellow Musk Creeper is also a source of treasure. Because all of these people that got turned into Yellow Musk zombies, let's say they are people that you don't care about. Let's say that it has just, you know, turned the local orcs into Yellow Musk zombies. Then whatever treasures and, you know, items of barbaric splendor they might have happened to have on them will be around. Or let's say you're looking for a specific missing person. You know, you're not just in any old dungeon. You've come down here looking for whatever missing archaeologist. And they might be in the Yellow Musk Creeper. They might be dead and turned into a new plant, or they might be enslaved as a Yellow Musk zombie. It actually says that the Yellow Musk Creeper kind of is aware, at whatever level, that a bunch of rings and gems and bracelets lying around on the ground around it would tend to suggest to people that, hey, this plant is dangerous. So it kind of kicks up dirt and covers them over in a shallow layer. So there's a whole kind of excavation aspect to fighting this monster that I like. The Yellow Musk Creeper and the Yellow Musk Zombie put together make for one really good encounter. And it states, in fact, that these might be cultivated intentionally by someone as a way of protecting an area they don't want intruders to go into. Anyway, these two monsters essentially form an encounter, or a little mini scenario. Once you have been through the whole rigmarole of rescuing the victim from being turned into a Yellow Musk Zombie and digging down to kill the roots of the plant, you are probably not going to be too excited about fighting a Yellow Musk Creeper twice. They basically present the same problem under all circumstances. Whereas, like, fighting orcs twice really depends on what kind of situation you find them in. If they're all in square rooms, just hanging around fully armed waiting for a bus, then yeah, that's not very exciting. But the orcs are fun to fight based on the situation that you find them in. Whereas the Yellow Musk Creeper effectively contains its own situation. So between the Yellow Musk Creeper and the zombie comma Yellow Musk, you've got a whole little set piece encounter just in two monster entries. And that, I think, is a very effective piece of monster design. I've talked before about the number of monsters in the Fiend Folio that you're basically not going to use more than once. And this, I think, is another of them. It's probably not going to come up very frequently unless you make it the main theme of a dungeon. But, so what? Now, there's something curious about the publication history of the Yellow Musk Creeper. It actually appears in a TSR scenario before it appears in the Fiend Folio, but it's not one of those monsters adapted from a scenario for the Fiend Folio. So it's in Dwellers in the Forbidden City, which is from 1981, but slightly earlier in 1981 than the Fiend Folio. But Dwellers in the Forbidden City is, you know, a TSR US product written by Dave Cook. So I'm assuming that what happened is that the Yellow Musk Creeper was one of the earlier Fiend Folio monsters, and that, you know, because of the long and complicated publication history of the Fiend Folio, access to those creatures was kicking around the company long before the book actually hit shelves, to the point that, confident that the Fiend Folio would be out, they put it in Dwellers of the Forbidden City, and then, you know, actually the Fiend Folio came out second. So, yeah, I mean, that's just a curious note, and I feel like there's probably some more complexity to the sequence of events there. I may have it wrong. Like, this is just me glancing at a list of publication dates and going, huh. So maybe there's more backstory than I know. But I think, again, it's just one of those interesting things about the kind of complex history of the Fiend Folio. That because it's this compilation, because it's existing during this weird legal relationship between TSR and GW, I mean, effectively, this is a Games Workshop product. But it isn't. I think they're good. I think they're definitely something you could, they've consistently been adapted for later editions, and that's because they're a useful little utility encounter. Not going to set the world on fire, but a good half hour's worth of monster fighting fun with kind of a puzzly element to it. And those are the last two monsters of the Fiend Folio. What a long, strange trip it's been. In the next episode, we're going to be doing a recap of the Fiend Folio for the Season 2 finale. And then after that, we're going to begin a series of episodes based on the Fiend Factory articles and their predecessors. So we're going to take a look at some of the monsters that didn't make it into the Fiend Folio on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.